Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. 2 weeks ago, Ampang MP Zuraida Kamarudin announced that she was leaving Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, or Bersatu, for Parti Bangsa Malaysia. Now, this puts not only her position as Plantation Industries and Commodities Minister into question, but also puts into sharp focus the relationship between UMNO and Bersatu. Today, we take a look at the trajectory of Bersatu as it tries to chart a future in Malaysian politics. Joining us now is political analyst Dr. Bridget Welsh. She's an honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham Malaysia's Asia Research Institute. Bridget, can we begin our conversation today by taking a look at the electoral viability of Bersatu? Was there anything in the previous few elections that might suggest Bersatu will remain a major player in Malaysian politics?
Good evening and great question, Melissa. I would say that, you know, we look at the electoral support in Malacca and Johor, and we see that they win roughly around 25% of the electorate. And they've cut in particularly into the traditional base of both Pakatan Harapan and UMNO. And so we do see a situation where they have become a major player. However, given the electoral system, it is very difficult for them to win seats without winning non-Malay support, which is where their weakness has been. And in this context, what this means is that Bersatu is facing a challenge of how to expand its political base while it's facing internal problems, which we can talk about in a bit. But the fact that fundamentally right now they are electorally viable, but they're still electorally weak because they cannot expand their political base and win seats emphatically. So I think this is a particular shortcoming for Bersatu.
Bridget, can we focus a bit on Zuraida's decision as a way of thinking about the confidence that political stakeholders might have in Bersatu's future? We understood that Bersatu and perhaps even Azmin Ali were thinking initially of forming or being part of the Parti Bangsa Malaysia. But whatever that may be, it seems like he's now sitting pretty with Bersatu while Zuraida has chosen to leave. Is that a vote of no confidence in Bersatu?
Let me step back, Sharad, and talk about the three major problems that Bersatu faces and then contextualize this with Zuraida's decision. So the first problem that Bersatu is facing is that it's a leadership transition. Muhyiddin Yassin is leaving, or at least stepping back, and now we see a contestation between Hamza and Azmin for that position, in which Hamza has the advantage. The second issue is what I spoke about just now, is how Bersatu has to manage and expand its political base and particularly respond to non-Malays. And in this context, Zuraida is in a seat of Ampang, which is a multi-ethnic seat, and it relies heavily on winning the support of non-Malays. And in this context, so many of the Bersatu members, both in Sabah and in Semenanjung, actually don't feel comfortable with the Malay-only position. And so they are moving to a PBM dynamic in this context, because it allows them to sort of have a different positioning in terms of the electorate. And then the third issue that Bersatu faces is one of its agenda, post-Muhyiddin. How does it define itself in terms of its legitimacy? And I think what Zuraida is doing is that she is trying to reposition PBM in terms of issues of gender, issues of a kind of different dynamics in terms of the electorate. And I think these are it's an interesting dynamic, whether or not another new party can come in, especially in an urban area, to be successful. I think Zuraida herself, with a decision on her position, still remains outstanding. I think Bersatu would like to have that position. I think Ismail Sabri is dependent on PBM, will become dependent on PBM if more members of Bersatu leave and join PBM, because his majority will not be that strong. So I think Zuraida is still pushing to maintain her minister position, but in a different context. And this is playing out in these issues of the contestation over leadership and how the party should position itself. There is one other issue that's going on, which is that which is happening in Sabah, and Sabah is actually a, you know, we see the dynamics there is that the Bersatu members would like to have a Sabah-based party, and so they are positioning themselves outside of the of Bersatu Simanunjung into a different types of rubric, of which reflect the local dynamics that are taking place there.
Can I ask you, Bridget, about Bersatu's I guess, allies in the political scene? I mean, what of this marriage convenience with PAS? Is that still going strong? Who else might be a viable electoral ally, a electoral pact ally for Bersatu?
Well, I think obviously PAS is the most important player. And it's important, especially in certain states more than others. I think one of the states to look at for Bersatu's future will be Kedah, and PAS in particular has a different relationship with Bersatu because they contested against each other. And I think we are going to see that relationship become important because if PAS wants to hold on to the government, they need to have some support for some of the Bersatu support that was won in Kedah. And of course, Pijuang will challenge that in that context. I think that PAS is important because it has the grassroots that Bersatu doesn't have, and it allows them to be a major player. It wasn't as important in Malacca and Johor, but it will be important nationally across the spectrum of different seats. I think other allies that it will be interesting to watch is Bersatu's relationship with Pijuang. I think that it is pretty clear that the relationship between Hamza and Azman Ali is very fractious. And of course, I think of the two, Hamza controls the levers of power inside Bersatu and is seen to be taking over more of the leadership positions, although Muhyiddin is still the kind of the national face of the party. I think that this makes a question for where Azman Ali goes. And of course, his relationship with Zoraida soured, which is part of the factor of why she left into PBM. But I see a factor where Bersatu will probably stay closer to PAS than Azman will stay closer to PAS, and Azman may move to a different direction.
Okay, Bridget, very quick question. What do you make of Shafi Abdal's claim that Muhyiddin wanted to, claim that he had support in parliament and could actually topple Ismail Sabri?
Well, everyone in politics makes claims of the numbers. I think that everything should be taken from the politicians with a bit of grain of salt. But I do think there was a certain degree of movement that Muhyiddin was trying to build traction in terms of his. And I think he felt he had those numbers. We've seen that with many politicians in the past. I don't think it probably would have materialized, but I definitely think there was the politicking and the statements that were going behind it taking place.
Bridget, always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much. That was political analyst Bridget Walsh from the Asia Research Institute at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And we'll be right back on Consider This after a quick break. Stay tuned. Watching Consider This, I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. We're discussing tonight the future trajectory of Bersatu in the Malaysian political landscape. This following Ampang MP Zuraida Kamarudin's resignation from the party. Joining us now is Professor Dr. Kartini Abu Talib. She's the Deputy Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies at Universiti Kebangsaan Malaysia. Dr. Kartini, can I ask you, when you know this news of Zuraida's resignation from Bersatu, what does that signal to you, and what perception? What does that, I guess, how does that affect perceptions? The perception the public may have towards the party.
Okay. She was one of the frog. Sorry to say, a jumping boat from PKR to Bersatu, and now with PBM, a party established by Julan MP Leru Singh. And I think she finally found a ground. it could be a good way to set up a new party with, now we know that she is linked with more than 50,000 members of NGOs. She is with Pergerak Community Negara, PKN. And what signal from here, what we can learn from here is that it signals that her political career is yet to end. She has her own supporters. We can see that more than 50,000 members of NGO linked to Pergerak Community Negara is behind her.
Yeah, Kartini, we can just now move our focus to Bersatu as a party. One of the things they seem to be struggling over is their identity. They started very strongly when they took over power following the Sheraton move, is to cast themselves as a Malay Muslim movement. This was very much, you know, Muhyiddin's own particular political branding, I guess, as a Malay first politician. Has that changed, or is that going to, you think, going to remain the way they look at it, especially as there are many electoral challenges that include the need to attract non-Muslim and non-Malay votes in order to win electorally?
Well, when it comes to identity, we must remember that Bersatu consists of three different components. We know that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin is the actual member who actually set up Bersatu. And then we have Hamzah Zainuddin and other former UMNOs with Bersatu. And also Azmin and Tim, former PKR member with Bersatu. Of course, Bersatu is facing a conflict in terms of identity itself. It would be difficult, even though all of these are members who promote the idea of Malay-led plural society, a party dominant by the Malays, but at the same time would like to attract members of the non-Malays. But when we look at this, we can see that a formula in Malaysian political party is none of these political party can win solo and form a government. They need to form a coalition. But looking at Bersatu right now, it's not about the identity, but Bersatu is in a desperate state, I would say. I repeat, in a desperate state. They are reaching every political party leader because they know they cannot survive alone in GE15. They need to find a strategic partner. If they want to retain as a political party, they have to find an alliance and be with the coalition. Or they can dissolve the party and join any well-established political parties. But for now, I think Bersatu is still looking from the variety of options available, and they are still searching. I do not know which potential coalition that Bersatu will be with as
all right.
We struggle with the identity. I think we have to wait then.
I think that's fascinating. So either find coalition partners or the party itself is in danger of splintering and dissolve. And I think that's interesting because, as you pointed out, you know, what would Bersatu look like post Muhyiddin Yassin, who may be looking to, I guess, transition out of a leadership role in the party? It's an open secret. There are factions within Bersatu between Hamzah Zainuddin and Azmin Ali. Is that a likely scenario in your perception, that the party could splinter and implode from within?
It could be. It could be. It has the potential. You can see that in Bersatu itself consists of three different components. And we can see that in the result through state election in Melaka and also in Johor, they only won two seats each in Melaka and Johor. So meaning that they are really struggling to be together as a party. And they know that their lifespan may not be longer than they would expect unless they have to find a strategic way to stay alive.
Can we look at what's available for them? Is there any possibility that they might actually reach out to Pakatan Harapan or the parties within Pakatan Harapan as a way of, in this part of their rhetoric, you know, preventing kleptocrats from returning to power in Putrajaya?
Okay, they were with Pakatan Harapan before, under Tun Mahathir. And then they decided to to withdraw from Pakatan Harapan. That is why Sheraton move was very historical in terms of looking how Bersatu was formed. So I do not know whether it could be a potential collision for Bersatu to be with Pakatan Harapan. As for now, we can see right. that Bersatu is still looking from these variety of options. They are reaching out every political party leader.
Is that a sign of a maturing democracy, Dr. Kartini? Do you see this, having this kind of reaching out to all different parties, trying to form a coalition? Is that a sign of a maturing democracy, Malaysia, do you reckon?
Okay, I think I beg to differ. It's not about maturing. We are already a mature democratic country. If we have to see that our people prove in GE14 2018, the power transition was free from violence. Relatively, if we have to compare ourselves with Africa, Latin America, there were violence at the end of the election result. Even in the United States, the power transition from Trump to Biden was havoc at the White House. And also, if we have to add more, the question on the intra-power transition from Mahathir to Muhyiddin, from Muhyiddin to Ismail, Ismail Sabri, was completely peaceful, free from violence demonstration. So I think we have to be true to ourselves. When we say about mature democracy, we can't depend on foreign journalists to appreciate or to recognize our democratic maturity. We have to be more realistic and appreciate our multi-party competition and our political psychology, our political literacy in our country. I think I have to be fair with the people out there.
Thank you, Dr. Kartini, for joining us on the show tonight. That was Dr. Kartini.
Right, Melissa and Sharad.
That was Dr. Kartini Abu Talib from UKM. We're going to take another quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Joining us now, we have Datuk Dr. Rais Hussein. He's the President and CEO of Emir Research. He was also former Supreme Council member of Bersatu. Rais, can I ask you about Bersatu today, the iteration of the party right now? How different is Bersatu today compared to the Bersatu when you first joined under Dr. Mahathir? How has the party changed?
Bersatu is a party that was formed out of necessity at that point of time to fight the kleptocrats and Save Malaysia. I was one of the co-founders of the party from the constitution, from the pathway to the logo, from everything. And Bersatu has a very, very specific objective of resetting, reinventing Malaysia through the political process. So that's exactly what Bersatu was tasked for. We were very passionate and we fought hard and alhamdulillah, people bought our struggle. We formed an unimaginable coalition at that point of time, bringing together Tun Mahathir, Anwar, Tan Sri and Lim Guan Eng and all that. And the people won. The victory for Pakatan Harapan then was the people's victory. Sadly, a few months later, 22 months later, we saw the episode, what has happened, and we lost our way. And then we have a new interim government, and then we have another interim government. So we are in the third prime minister within the space of 4 years.
So how has the party... How has the party changed?
Well, to me, the party must stay true to the cause. We started off with talking about reform. We started off talking about justice. We're talking about inclusiveness, progressiveness, and moderation. These are the five core principles of Bersatu when we all started. Obviously, now it has become more political than the five core principles. To state it matter-of-factly, as you know, I always speak my mind, and I get into trouble for most of the time. But speaking truth is easy, you don't have to remember. And it's speaking from the heart. Bersatu have to reinvigorate itself with that five core principles, have to again re-inculcate that again to go forward.
Right. So, Rais, what we see here, though, you know, and maybe this is the pathology of the media. We focus on the dynamics between individuals, the fight, the grab for power. So we hear that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin might leave the leadership or step back from the leadership of the party. And there's now a potential fight between Hamza Zainuddin, a former UMNO member, and Azmin Ali, a former PKR, you know, a stalwart. So, but at the end of the day, Rais, what do either of these men, including Muhyiddin Yassin, bring to the table in terms of governance?
I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin is very much anchored in Bersatu, and he will continue with the leadership. In terms of the power, the perception of power struggle within the Bersatu, I think it's more perception than reality. At least that's what I gather, whether it's a former UMNO or former PKR. We also have another dynamics. You know, politics is always dynamics. It's so dynamic, even the word dynamic is not accurately representing the word dynamic. Like, for instance, suddenly you have another party very close with the acronym PBM, Parti Bangsa Malaysia. And then there is a lot of perceptions and stories that going around that all those who came will now leave to that party. And they will do it in stages. They will do it that for building a momentum. And this story is not now. It has been there. Let's take example of Zuraida. Zuraida departing is a known factor. It's a very poorly kept secret in the political world, and everybody was sensing it. The Supreme Council, as I was told and as it was on the press, have discussed about show cause letters and this and that. So we all know what is coming. So I think as one of the co-founders of Bersatu and the one who fought tooth and nail, got arrested by the police, interrogated, and so on and so forth for writing on 1MDB and Kevin Morais at one time. I think Bersatu must go back to its roots. What was the purpose of Bersatu's formation?
One of the biggest challenges Bersatu has is growing its voter base, growing its political base. How might it do that, particularly if, you know, it's looking to become a serious contender in GE15?
I think the dynamics of GE15 is going to be even more dynamic than ever because of all what has happened in the past few months. Essentially, Bersatu cannot be on its own. If it's on its own, it's the beginning of the end of Bersatu. To me, Bersatu needs to have a electoral pact or electoral coalition. I don't think even coalition will work because too much of trust deficit with all the parties. To say it very frankly, people are still recovering from that what they people call it as a betrayal, right? So luka masih berdarah, the bleed is still there. But we have to look at a bigger picture, greater picture of building a consensus to ensure that this country is in the hands of good people. And this country has to be reset. We have multifaceted problem, not only just politics, economics, people are suffering. This is a normal thing.
Okay, but Rais, before, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have 1 minute left. Very quickly, Bersatu likes to say that, you know, they're going to fight the kleptocrats, but they brought the kleptocrats back to power in that move that established their Malay Muslim government. Isn't that dishonest of them?
I think that's very disingenuous of anyone to do that. And I never supported that particular move, as you would see. But having said that, now we can talk. I have not invented a flux capacitor yet. If you know what's flux capacitor, you can go back in time to correct the problem. We can only move forward. Moving forward, I think the only way for us to do is to form a coalition of willing on an electoral coalition pact. I think to talk about coalition now is too much to ask for. And again, there must be a common denominator. What is that? One-to-one contest, that's number one. Number two, make sure that the kleptocrats will not come back as what our convicted felon Najib Razak said, absolute power, quasi mutlak. So that's what he said yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Right.
And then the third thing is that don't talk about too much of the PM shit. Talk about forming a turnaround team. This country needs massive turnaround in every facet of the thing, right? So right. Turnaround team. And I think there's some good things that has happened. We saw Rafizi coming back to active politics. That's number one. That's good. That Rafizi winning the deputy presidentship. That's also very good.
Right.
So we have good people coming in.
Of course, right. I'm sorry to have to interrupt you, but we've come to the end of the show. We've run out of time and want to thank you for being on the show tonight. Dr. Rais Hussain of IMA Research, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching and good night.